Hi, Newstalk's Ciara Kelly here. There is something about summer that makes you want to refresh your home. And for many of us, that starts with the kitchen. It's where the morning coffee happens, where family life gathers, where friends always seem to end up. And after years of wear and tear, it might be time to give it the attention it deserves. So if you're thinking about a new kitchen, Tile Style is well worth a visit, because Tile Style doesn't just do tiles, they also design and supply beautiful kitchens, including the luxurious Porcelainosa kitchen collection. Think high quality, contemporary design, stunning finishes, clever storage, and a look that can completely transform your space. Their expert team can help you plan it all properly with advice and optional virtual design, so you can see how your new kitchen will come together before making any big decisions. And with Tile Style Summer Sale now on, offering exceptional value across the store, it's a brilliant time to start planning with tiles and finishes to perfectly complement your new kitchen. So if your summer plans include creating a kitchen that feels genuine special, start with Tile Style. Visit the Tile Style showroom in Ballymount to see full kitchen displays and finishes up close, or explore more at tilestyle.ie.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan on News Talk.
Now, should we ban heading the ball in football? We're talking about this today because a new study is out and it finds that there may well indeed be a connection between heading the ball and dementia, with a large percentage of former players having developed the illness. So is it time to ban headers? Professor Willie Stewart, who's a consultant at the University of Glasgow, is with me on the line today. Willie, good afternoon. You're very welcome to the programme. You might talk us through the headline stats from this finding, Willie, first of all.
So what we were looking at was former professional footballers in Scotland and comparing them to men in the population who were born in the same year and living in much the same areas, and working out what their health profile looked like. So, for instance, we found that their dementia risk was just over 3 times higher than it should be. But what we're also looking at was the other risk factors for dementia people might have. So things that we know, lifestyle and health, that might contribute to dementia risk: blood pressure, diabetes, smoking, etc. And when we looked at these, we found that actually, generally, our footballers were really quite healthy men. They had lower levels of many of these risk factors, and they were less associated with dementia. So healthy men, but with a high risk of dementia. So it brings us back to something in the sport is a problem for footballers, and in that we're talking about heading.
And that's what that's what it sort of boiled down to, or that's what it came back to, Willie.
Yeah. So this has been ongoing work for several years now, where we showed that, early 4 or 5 years ago, that footballers had a risk of dementia, and subsequent work that it seemed to be the longer you played football and which position you played, specifically where the positions where there was higher risk of head injury and head impact. And now, just to kind of finish this off, we've been looking at other risk factors just to make sure there's not something else perhaps going on. But unfortunately, it brings us back to head injury, head impact in the sport.
So where do we go from here? Like, for you as a consultant, a neuropathologist at the University of Glasgow, when you're looking at these findings, should or are they incorporated into, the various different sporting organisations?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I mean, it gives us more encouragement to push hard on sports to reduce unnecessary head impacts whenever possible, and better manage head injuries where they do occur. So for head impacts, for instance, in football, and whilst, football headers during a match day may be marvellous things, do they need to be doing it, dozens and dozens of times during the week when nobody's watching? I mean, we speak to our families who are dealing with this, who husbands or fathers have dementia. We hear of stories of 70,000, 80,000 headers over a career, of which maybe only 1,000 or 2 were during a match. So there's a huge number of unnecessary head impacts we could deal with. And then where head injuries occur, it's getting better message on management of those head injuries. And I'm speaking this evening at a brain health and sport meeting, a webinar that's organised by GBHI, Global Brain Health Institute in Trinity, and the GEA. And actually, the GEA is an example of where concussion management isn't currently being promoted very well. They published documents at the weekend, which I think are pretty poor in terms of concussion management. It's a very confused document. This is covering grassroots sport, and it implies that we should be trying to recognise concussion and remove the player. Many of us have gone away from that now and just say if there's any doubt or suspicion at all, they should be removed from the field of play. And in fact, the previous 2021 GAA document did say if in doubt, sit them out. But for some reason, in 2024, going into 2025, they've rolled back into recognise and remove And then later in the document, it suggests that while all players with suspected concussions should be removed from the field of play and shouldn't return elsewhere, it says that if a medical qualified practitioner thinks that they haven't had a concussion, they can go back on and play again, which is completely anathema to the if in doubt, sit them out.
Don't we have, though, Willie, in some codes, like particularly at a junior or at an underage level, I thought certainly, was it maybe from last year or the start of this year, a ban in place for, you know, under 7 to under 9 or maybe even under 10s, that there is a rule, you know, deliberately, that deliberately heading the ball has been banned?
So that's certainly true in the Football Association of England and Scottish Football Association. I'm not sure that it's got much further than that. So youth levels, under 12s, are discouraged and slowly being banned from heading. So I think in English football, they're bringing it, you know, with each year, they're just raising the age at which kids should be heading the ball. So that's fantastic. That's a good start. And even at the professional game in adults, they're looking at limiting heading. You know, in Scottish football, no heading before the day before or day after a match, and limited during the week. Fantastic. But we need that to apply across the global game, not just in Scottish and English football.
Okay, well, I have Dermot with me on the line today. Willie, will you stay with us if you can for a few moments? I think we've got Dermot with us too. Dermot, you're a coach at underage level. How are you?
I'm good. Yourself?
Yeah, not too bad at all, actually. You've been listening to consultant Willie Stewart. What are your thoughts on the findings of this report?
But I'd like to actually ask a question first and foremost. Is we said he's talking about all the professional players. Would you took the weight of the ball, the condition of the ball, a dry ball versus a wet ball? Because years ago, balls were like literally concrete blocks if they got wet. And technology has moved along so far. The design of the ball, the weight of the ball. There's no coaches that I know would be, you know, having children heading the ball 15 or 16 times during a training session. You'd be taught how to head the ball and that'd be it. And if it occurred during the football, during the game, you'd know how to head the actual ball. And to be totally honest with you, I don't think it bears any relevance to junior football or even professional football at this day and age. I just think it's mental.
Okay, Willie, do you want to come in there, Willie, on that?
And Dermot's a coach of youth football, is he?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I am indeed.
I mean, this is concern that we're still having to educate people here within the game. So firstly, the weight of a football has not changed for over 100 years. It's 14 to 16 ounces. It's mandated in the regulations of the game. Yes, certainly the materials that have made up footballs have changed over the years. So as Dermot says, back in the day, that 14 to 16 ounce football would get a bit wet on the pitch. And
it wouldn't just get a bit wet. It'd get soaked and it'd nearly break. We play football, the majority of your life, it'd nearly break your neck or break your foot.
Go ahead there, Willie, just to explain.
Of course, we all have that anecdotes of what the ball used to be like back in the day. But the reality is, if you actually look at the science rather than the anecdotes, is they got marginally heavier, slowed them down. And the problem, the modern balls that don't absorb the water are much more elastic, if you like, much more bouncy in their properties and travel much faster through the air and actually arrive at the head with much greater force than the old balls would have. And we're heading the ball more now than we have in the past. And so actually the risk now for modern football is maybe greater than it was in the past. And certainly our data looking at the risk of dementia across the whole of last century, so players playing right up until the late 90s, shows that there's no difference in risk across the whole of last century. So I'm sorry, Deborah, but the science is slightly more informative than anecdotes.
Okay.
And I think as a coach of youth football, you probably should be led by science rather than anecdotes.
Okay. Let me just bring in journalist and columnist with the Irish Times. I think Jen Hogan is with us. And Jen, look, I suppose, you know, as a parent, your kids, a lot of them involved in sport, playing football, I imagine there's a lot of mums and dads listening to this today, and like their kids are involved at whatever level or maybe going up through senior ranks, and people are concerned when they hear findings like this.
Absolutely. And I mean, I've stood on many the sideline over the years. My husband's a coach in football too. And when you listen to what Willie is saying here, it makes sense that we move away from having children head football. It just, we have a responsibility as parents to get our children to adulthood in one piece and without exposing them to the kind of risk that is life-changing. I mean, anybody who knows anyone who has dementia or has ever lived with somebody with dementia, it's devastating. You don't want to increase their risk of that. And when we're hearing this kind of science and we're hearing this kind of research, we do need to look at it. Even the way kids play football changes as it goes up. As Dermot will know himself, obviously they start off on smaller pitches. They're going up and to bigger pitches as they go up through the ages. They're bringing in new rules. Offside comes into play at certain stages. And the weight of the ball changes also as they go up from much lighter ball with the very younger years. You don't see a huge amount of heading. That's the one thing I would say. Over the years, even watching my younger kids versus my teenagers, with the younger kids in particular, you don't see a huge amount of heading because a lot of the time they're so focused on trying to find their position. Everybody wants to be a striker. Everybody wants all the glory. They're trying to work out their feet where they should be, trying to learn the rules, manage maybe the change in the pitch. And heading, sometimes when the ball hits them, it's nearly by accident as opposed to a deliberate header. So I don't think it should be that hard to transition it completely out of the youth game. Okay. It's not a huge part of it. It should be something that we can very easily do. And when we know better, we need to do better. We have the research as well, he says. Yeah. So we need to do better here. And we need, you know, it's not about wrapping kids in cotton wool. It's not about being overly cautious. It's about being sufficiently cautious and protecting children.
Okay. I think we've Derek on the line with us as well. Derek, I believe you feel that there, you know, there is an alternative, is there, to this?
It's a massive alternative. It can be played by a long ball, which is chested or actually trapped, and the only place to be headed is in the 18-yard box, and that is the way that they play five-a-side football, and on the ground in the correct manner of football and not in the air. It's not air ball, it's football.
And leave it at that.
And I've lost a couple of very, very good people, Bobby Charlton and Nobby Styles, through the heading of a ball.
Let me bring in James, I think, too. Derek, thank you for getting in touch. James, you were involved in football, is that right, at a playing and coaching level?
I was, Andrea. I played for Belvedere, my local North Inner City team, as a kid.
Yeah.
And then I went on and managed and coached for years at Stella Maris. And I've been doing this for over many years. I kind of got out for about 20 years ago. I got a bit older. But I mean, I played and coached with guys who were, I'm in my 60s now, who would have been playing. Most of the heading occurs in that central area, centre half, centre midfield, centre forwards. The ball's going to be coming in. You've got to attack the ball. Yeah, the old style. I'm with Dermot on this in the sense that the old style ball was like a bloody medicine ball. So what happened is, yeah, it led to a lot of situations where players did end up with, you know, dementia. There's a link. I think we've established that, and I don't deny that. But the ball you're playing with is completely different. There was some examples, like Jeff Astle at West Brom, suffered with dementia. Our own Jack Charlton, the same thing. But they were centre-forwards and centre-halves. Out the flanks, you're not being heading the ball to the same frequency. So you cannot take heading out of the game. You may as well take tackling out of football as well. It's a contact sport.
Okay.
This is what happens.
Is it?
You know, so.
Sorry, no, you're okay. I'm just wanted just to bring Willie back in on that. Is it as simple as that? It's similar, you know, in terms of the impact, Willie, that it might have on the sport.
Well, I mean, as I said, you know, we've a long way before we're batting heading. We're talking about, you know, trying to restrict the unnecessary heading during the week, the training heading that goes on, and try and cut back as much of that as possible. And then we'll see where we are in the years to come as the science develops, whether actually, you know, we do need to think about removing heading from the game, or as one of your contributors said, thinking about heading in restricted areas in the pitch. You know, because what we're talking about is, again, go back to the data this week, former footballers are healthy men generally in many of the measures that we're worried about in life. So, you know, their weight is good, the blood pressure is good, they're not drinking too much, not smoking too much. They should be healthy men living long and healthy lives, but they've got a real problem with dementia. So what we need to do is get rid of that dementia problem, and we end up with, you know, prescribing football as a fantastic drug to cure disease, as opposed to worrying about what it's doing to the brain.
Okay. Listen, Professor Willie Stewart, consultant at neuropathologist at the University of Glasgow, Jen Hogan, Dermot, James, Derek, thanks a million to you all for getting in touch with us.
Lunchtime Live with Andrea Gilligan. Weekdays at midday on News Talk.
I'm here on the job site with Dale, who's a framing contractor.
Hey, good morning.
Dale traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance for all his business vehicles. We're here where he needs us most.
Yep, they sure are.
We make it easy for him to save on all his insurance needs, all in one place, with coverage that fits his business and bottom line. Oh, I shouldn't have looked down.
It's all right.
We're so far up here.
Look at me. Take a deep breath.
No, I'm good. So good.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. It feels good to Geico.